You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. Welcome to On the Money for this Monday, the 24th of August 2020 from the SBS Newsroom. It's your 10-minute wrap of the day in business and finance. So let's start with the Australian share market, which opened in the red. But by the close, the S&P ASX 200 actually rose 0.3% to 6,129. The big four banks fell, though, so too the major healthcare stocks like CSL. But there were some records, some tech stocks, Afterpay, Xero, Appen and NextDC. Resource stocks also did well. Fortescue, one of the majors, up 3.5% today. And that's on the back of a record full-year profit, up 49% to about $4.7 billion. That's also seen a higher than expected final dividend at $1 per share. And that's thanks to record iron ore export volumes and higher prices. Qantas was hit today, though, down 4.3%. The head of its international division, Tina Spina, is leaving the company, essentially because of the grounding of flights means no international business. NIB was also weaker, which we'll tell you about in a few moments' time. But first, for the day in the markets, I spoke earlier with Elio D'Amato from Daylight Financial Group. Elio, what's been driving the market today?
Well, I think UBS said it perfectly when they said that beats are being rewarded and the misses are not being punished. And in fact, some of the misses are actually leading to strong share price runs as everyone starts to get a little bit more confident that the worst may be over. We've seen strong rallies in stocks like U Media, for example, Reliance Worldwide, both who had disastrous results with pretty negative outlook statements, yet the market lapped it up as a bit of buying opportunities on the back of what's been a very difficult period. Of course, we had the mighty Fortescue result. That was also a strong contributor for two reasons. One, the dollar dividend, and two, the upgrade to its production targets next year, obviously meaning the good times are still rolling ahead and many income investors very happy about that return. And IT, well, that continues to be the shining light in lockdown period with Altium and Appen and, of course, the mighty Afterpay up strongly today.
You mentioned Fortescue. Can we go into more detail about what you make of corporate reporting season right now, that dollar dividend from Fortescue? Then you've got retailers like the Shaver Shop delivering record profits. It's almost like what recession?
It's a great question because, of course, we're all very scared about the looming recession. And what we've actually witnessed has been a pretty solid earnings season, and in many cases, particularly at the top line, even for companies that have had big pullbacks in profit, the top line has actually been growing. Now, it's important to stress here that actually this was the desired impact that the government wanted with all these stimulus packages. The last thing they wanted was people to hoard the cash and put it in their bank account and not spend it. So the fact that we're out there spending this money is exactly what we wanted. And let's face it, this is by far and away the most generous and supportive democratic government that's ever been on this planet ever since it was created in 500 BC. The amount of money and stimulus that's been poured into our businesses and the general consumer in order to support not only our lifestyle but our emotional well-being has been huge and unprecedented. And I think what we're witnessing this earnings season has been a validation of that. Of course, the question everyone's asking is now what happens next post-September, and they're currently discussing that in Parliament at the moment. And that'll be a key driver as to what occurs with our businesses. But I think the results are a pat on the back all round for those that wanted to avert disaster.
The other big story of the day is AMP and the resignation of its chair over the handling of sexual harassment allegations over a senior manager. Do you think this will make other boards take notice?
Well, corporate governance and ESG, ESG as it's called, has been a focus for many large super funds in particular and a number of fund managers for quite some time. So this should have already fairly been squarely as a focus for most boards across the board, particularly if they want that lucrative superannuation money making its way onto their books. Unfortunately, what's happened with AMP is just another continuation of a litany of disasters since Mr. Murray's appointment, be it either Mr. De Ferrari's salary, be it either, you know, now this Bihari impact, and of course, financial advisors suing the company for breaches of contract. Unfortunately, this was an untenable situation. He obviously had to go, and no better reflected by the fact that share price rose, despite the fact that someone who was brought on board to fix up, you know, the post, post Royal Commission mess has actually been shown the door so early on, which one has to ask the question why someone who was one of the fathers of the vertically integrated wealth wealth management model was actually bought in to try to clean up the industry, a problem that arguably he had created. Well, I think we've ultimately seen that outcome. And I think investors will see today as hopefully a passing of a bad chapter and will now want to see some rubber hit the road, particularly given Mr. DeFerrari's lofty salary.
Elio D'Amato there from Daylight Financial Group. Now, as he mentioned, that resignation of David Murray saw shares at AMP rise 1%. He came on board in 2018 following that fee for no service scandal, which also claimed a number of other board members. So what does it take to make effective corporate board change? We spoke earlier to Dr. Ali Walker. She's a senior lecturer at the University of New South Wales.
I'm probably saying something a little bit unorthodox. And the first step is actually that they have to genuinely care about the culture of the company. They have to genuinely care about changing it. Now, I can totally acknowledge that all board members would genuinely care about the results of the company. But I think it's actually a mindset shift where members of boards have to care about the culture of a company, and that's a bit of a shift. And so then we talk about things like, you know, ESG, we talk about gender diversity on boards. It's about 30% that we need in terms of gender diversity to have a positive impact on the company's bottom line. And then I think in terms of a lens of how board members can care about the company culture, it's sustainability. You can't go past sustainability as a lens for fixing or addressing cultural problems.
Dr. Ali Walker there from the University of New South Wales Business School. On to profit numbers today. NIB shares down 5.8% today. Full year net profit down 40% to $89 million. NIB is that insurance company, weighed down by a near $100 million provision for deferred claims. Its CEO, Mark Fitzgibbon, said it's impossible to predict the impact of the pandemic on the sector. He spoke earlier at an analyst briefing.
You know, our international health and workers insurance business were dramatically impacted by the restrictions on foreign entry in the last quarter. Mm-hmm. And of course, travel took a complete torpedo in the fourth quarter, you know, as people simply abandoned travel. Look, there are some silver linings in results. You know, we remain very well capitalized as a business, and our debt to cap is still, you know, low and very manageable. At under 30%. There's some evidence as a consequence of COVID-19 that consumer awareness about the risk of disease and the need for protection has increased quite dramatically. We're seeing that in our sales and retention numbers. And it's created even more momentum for some of the opportunities we see in the business around better care management.
NIB CEO Mark Fitzgibbon there. Just finally, before we go, some numbers from APRA on the super early release scheme. So far, we're seeing about $31.7 billion paid out. The average payment around $7,686. Payouts, though, are slowing, but still on track to reach the Treasury forecast of $42 billion by the end of the year. That is your On The Money wrap for this Monday, the 24th of August, 2020. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. I'll see you next time.